Last week we began to look at this concept of together. We learned about being together last week. What is the purpose that we as people who are followers of Christ come together? We learned four specific things that being together is essential to our spiritual well-being. It's important for us spiritually that we gather together regularly. We learned that being together gives us strength. That being together provides guidance for us. And then a kind of a weird last one we looked at was being together is sometimes difficult. Because sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. Sometimes we a little bit unkind or unloving or unmerciful or ungraceful. It's that sinful nature in us that sometimes we allow to escape rather than the Jesus inside of us. But that all conflicts could be solved, and as brothers and sisters in Christ and being together, that we overcome those things. So this morning I want to pick up on that theme, and I want to take us to another level of togetherness, of why it's important that we are together in community. It's important that we're together, or else Jesus would have never told us, the Word would have never told us that we need to gather together. But there's a great thing that happens when we gather in a large group like this. There's worship that happens in a unique perspective when many voices, many hearts are put together. There's something that happens when we come together to hear the proclamation of God's word together, to hear what the scriptures say and how that changes and impacts our lives. It's important. But yet there's still another element of together that can go even deeper. And that's that element of being together in a small group setting, in a small group community. Last week we looked at a passage of scripture in Acts chapter 2, and I want to stay there this morning as we dig deeper into Acts chapter 2 verse 42. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Now I'm going to need your help a little bit here, right? I think you can help me with the word together. All the believers were and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to them number daily those who were being saved. Together, as you see here, together is an important word in the book of Acts. It's an important word for the early church. It is an important word for those first believers who were followers of Jesus after his death, his resurrection, and his ascension back to heaven. And they gathered together continually. I want to take you through a couple of quick verses here, and I'm going to hit them really quick, and I just want you to look on the screen with me. It starts with Acts 1:14. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. The next verse, 2:1, says, when the day of Pentecost, they were all together. Acts 2:44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Couple more. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. All the believers used to meet in Solomon's colonnade. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done. I went too fast for you. Together. Let's do that again. On arriving there, they gathered the church and reported all that God had done. See, we are called to be together. Oh, you got it. What's the theme? Together. What do you remember? Together. What do you need to do? Together. You need to go home? Yeah. Together. See, the majority of people outside the walls of this building have no clue why this building exists. Most people, I think, believe that we're just a club. Well, that's the Christian club. A club. We're not a club. We are people united by the person of Jesus Christ, who died on a cross to forgive our sins so that we could celebrate and remember that even in the communion service, even in our everyday lives, every time that we gather. See, I have friends who are parts of clubs. I have one good friend. Oh, he's been my friend for 35, 40 years. And he likes to build model airplanes. Now, when I say model airplanes, I don't want you to think about these. I mean, they're humongous things with engines in them. And he flies them. He's part of a flying model engine club. And they go out to fields that they've got permission, and they fly these things. And in winters in some big gyms, they fly them indoors. So they're united. People in that club are united because they all love model planes with engines in them. I have another friend, one of my old roommates in Bible college. He's part of a Jeep club. He's got a Jeep and all these people with Jeeps. It's just Jeeps. You have to have a Jeep. Not just any off-road vehicle. Has to be a Jeep. And they off-road. And I can't figure, he showed me videos and I'm trying to figure out why. Like, why would you do this? Why? That thing can flip over. This is great. This is fun. See, but they're in a club. And they're united by the goals of the clubs. It's Jeeps, it's model planes, it's whatever. We are not a club. We are a family. We are a body. We are united by the presence and the power of a living Savior. Ephesians 4:16 says this, from him, that's Jesus, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. From him, Jesus, the whole body. Paul is using a picture of our own human body because we all are familiar with that. Our body is not a club. It's a living entity. And the body of Jesus Christ is you and I and all the followers of Jesus, all the believers in Jesus, all those who hold to the standard of God's word. We become this living body, this real organism. We are not a club. And we need to realize that as I'm connected to you and you're connected to me and we're connected to her and we're connected to him, as we are all connected together, our body begins to function properly and better. But we live in a secular world that has sown the idea that every one of us is an individual. And you are an individual. I'm not taking that away from you. You know, we're not changing the name on your birth certificate. But when we, the church, the believers, begin to believe that I am just me and just me alone, we begin to lose what we're told in Ephesians 4, that we are a whole body joined together. Jesus did not make the church individuals. He made the church a living body where individuals come together with each of their giftings and their talents and their personality and who they are and what God has done for them. God never intended for you to live the Christian life by yourself. And I know I said this last week. That's why people who refuse to go to church and be in a body of believers lose out on something. They might get some good word on TV or some podcast or some live Facebook feed. It might be a wonderful word and you might hear some wonderful music, but you lose that element of togetherness. You lose that element of being together. The body needs every part working together for it to function properly. I don't know, many of you probably don't know my wife Sylvie. For about the last 5 months, she's had a shoulder problem. Never heard of it before, but it started with a tear years ago, and the tear healed probably incorrectly and built a large calcium deposit, and then she got to the place where she couldn't move her shoulder. She can't go up, and she can't go back, and she can't do anything with it. And so she's been through 4.5 months of physio and therapies and cortisone shots, and through the last few weeks, she's been better since the cortisone shot. Thank you, Jesus. Because she wasn't sleeping. Because she couldn't get comfortable. She couldn't sleep. And then she was tired. And honey, take this in the right frame. She was crabby. we love you. It's all an element. Follow with me. It's all an element. A sore shoulder affected the whole body. And that piece of that body of Christ affected the body of the family. One little shoulder affected a whole body. The pain wasn't anywhere else in the body from the shoulder, but the effects of it. It's the same thing in this, the body of Christ. This, the body of Highway. That we need to be healthy and working together. You think what you do only affects you, but that's not true. That's the lie that society teaches us. You live your own life, you do your own thing, it doesn't matter to anybody else. It matters to everybody else. Because when one part of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. When one part of Highway hurts, all of Highway hurts. And so how could we get better at doing life together? How could we be better at living and being together? See, it's critical that you understand you're connected to the rest of the body of Christ. And how can you be connected better? Small groups. The best way to be connected is in small groups. And I have to say that at Highway, a good percentage of our adult population is in small groups, but not everybody. And I know some of you work night shifts and evening shifts or shift work, and it changes, and that gets difficult. But even if that's you, then come the weeks that you're not on shift. Go the weeks that you're not working. There are 4 benefits to being in a small group. The small group has its strength. Now hear me good. It's not the small group or the large gathering. It's both and. There are things that happen when we're together, like the worship and like the communion, although you can do communion in a small group. There are things and elements that God has given us in this large group, our talents working with and for each other. And there are things that work to its benefit in the small group community. And because we put those 2 things together, God helps us grow. And so I want to share with you quickly 4 things, 4 benefits to being in a small group. And the first one is this: you're connected in relationships. Last week we talked about loneliness, if you were here. I won't reiterate a large study, but I want to point out 2 things. A large study was done just last year about loneliness. It's an American study, but a lot of it will transfer over to our Canadian culture. We learned that half of American adults claim to feel lonely. We learned that 40% of adults claim that they feel isolated from other people. If God knows that that's the tendency, we tend to go on our own. Don't you think that's why he balanced it out with this idea that we have to be together? And so in a small group community, you're connected in relationships. Because one of the greatest needs our world has today is for people to feel connected to other people. That's why people join clubs, to be connected. And that's why people need to meet Jesus, because they need to be connected. In a small group community, you find that relationship and that community aspect. Sometimes we think this word fellowship is just a fun word. if you were here last week, we had a fellowship time after service. And it's not something that's, a tag on to our spiritual life. Fellowship is part of what we're called for. We read that in Acts chapter 2 in our text, and they fellowshiped together. They didn't just pray together. They didn't just do church together. They fellowshiped together. They went to each other's homes and they broke bread and they ate. How many times in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stories of Jesus' earthly ministry, how many times do we find Jesus going to the house of people and having dinner with them? Especially with the sinners and the tax collectors. Because breaking bread, having a meal with somebody, is a way of tearing down barriers. Not always overnight, but with time and consistency. In our disconnected age, people can feel community and fellowship. I want to read a rather lengthy, it's 8 verses of scripture. It'll be on the screen for you. I'm just going to read this. It'll springboard us into the next benefit. So our first benefit is relationships. And Titus 2, we read these words. Your job is to speak out on the things that make for solid doctrine. Guide older men into lives of temperance, dignity, and wisdom, into healthy faith, love, and endurance. Guide older women into lives of reverence so they end up as neither gossips nor drunks, but models of goodness. By looking at them, the younger women will know how to love their husbands and children. Be virtuous and pure. Keep a good house. Be good wives. We don't want anyone looking down on God's message because of their behavior. Also, guide the young men to live disciplined lives. But mostly, show them all this by doing it yourself. Incorruptible in your teaching, your words solid and sane, then anyone who is dead set against us when he finds nothing weird or misguided might eventually come around. These are words written to encourage us that our lives matter, that our lives should be lives that speak of who God is and not who the devil is. Live lives of righteousness because your life is a testimony to others, to those in the house of faith and those outside the house of faith. And so the second benefit we have from small groups is you find a place of discipleship. That's exactly what he's talking about when he writes to Titus. He's telling him how to live his life in a discipled way, a disciplined way. Discipleship basically simply is the fact that we just want to live a life that follows the life and the teaching of Jesus. If Jesus modeled it, we want to follow it. If Jesus taught it, we want to accept it. If Jesus explained it, we want to take it up. We want to be disciples of Jesus, not disciples of this world, but disciples of the living Savior. And in a small group setting, you share in discipleship. In the small group setting, you are able to be real, to be safe, to be honest, to share your hurts, to share who you really are. You probably came into church today. I'm sure at least one person said, "How are you?" And I'm sure without thinking, you said, "Fine." Right? Typical response without thinking about it. Or for those of us who do think about it, you think, "You don't really want to know how I am." You don't really have time to hear how I am. See, but when you walk in the small group, and one of your co-members or your leader says, "How are you?" And you say, "Fine," and they go, "Liar." See, in the small group, you don't have to wear your mask. In the small group, you can come to a weekly meeting and you can say, "You know what? My life is horrible." You can find friends in your small group who will wrestle with you the questions of life and the hardships of life. They may have walked the path already that you are now walking. They have life experience, godly life experience that they could share with you. and help you through some of those hardships. And if you're not in a small group, if all you do is come here week after week, put in your 90 minutes and slide out the door unnoticed, you're missing out on the aspect of why God has put us together. Because we are to be iron sharpening iron. We are to be disciples of Jesus Christ, helping other people be disciples of Jesus Christ. We can't miss this element. It's critical. It's crucial. And this iron rubbing iron really works in the small group. It doesn't work in this setting. It's more defined in the small group setting. Small groups challenge you to push forward. They challenge you to different thinking. They challenge you to walk life together with other people. Galatians 6, 1 to 2 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. It's talking about discipleship here as well. Watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens in the small group. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So you're connected in relationships. You find a place of discipleship. And real quick, I'll give you two last ones. In a small group, you're provided with opportunities for ministry. Somebody said, you never really minister to someone until you touch and address the point of their greatest need. Did you catch that? When you touch someone's need, you minister to them. You may be ministering to people in your small group and you may not even realize it. Small groups gives you an opportunity to minister in unique and personal ways to other people in your group. And your small group can do some exciting things. Like your group could say, you know what? We're going to do a Halloween pop-up at the driveway of so-and-so's house together and hand out candy. Your small group may say, we're going to go one day to church in Regent Park when the church goes in and give dessert to people who could just use some loving. There's ways that you can do that in your small group that are unique in that small group experience. James 5:16 brings us into something that I want you to consider as well. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What am I saying here? The fourth thing you find in a small group, and I purposely kept it on its own. I could have hidden this into relationships, but I want you to see the importance of this. In the small group, you find a place of prayer. Every one of our small groups is supposed to have a prayer element to it. Every time you gather, there is supposed to be prayer. Every group does it differently. Every group finds its unique way. And I've shared with you before, in our small group, we take the last 15, 20 minutes, we share praise reports, prayer requests, then we all get up, we form a circle, we hold hands, and we do that, and we pray. One person, one request, that's what I ask. You know, not one person, all the requests. And we share the requests around the circle, and we pray for people. Sometimes we feel, you know, somebody needs prayer, we'll put them on a chair in the middle of the circle and we'll lay hands on them and we'll pray for them. However things are going in the small group that night, but prayer is important. Now, yes, you can come to church and you can come to every communion service and you can have somebody pray with you, but every week in your small group, somebody could pray with you. Every week in your small group, it's developed and designed for you to have a time of prayer. Yeah, you can come to our all-church prayer meetings that are once a month, but it's still not the same thing. There in the all-church prayer meeting, we're gathering everybody together to gather and pray for two or three specific things every month. But in the small group, it's unique to who you are, where you are in that moment, in that time, in that week. It's a place of prayer. It's important that we have prayer in our lives, that we don't just say, well, we want to be people of prayer. We want to practice prayer. We want to put it into effect. That's why it's a key element to all of our small groups, that there's this element of prayer. There's something unique When maybe for a few weeks you keep sharing a burden, you keep sharing a request, maybe a few months. There's something unique when those people are praying with you week in and week out. And one day you come in, you go, I have a praise report. They don't always happen quickly. Sometimes they take weeks, months, sometimes they take years. But isn't it amazing that all that time, this group of people is praying with you, and finally you get to come one week, and instead of having a prayer request, you have a praise report. This is what God did. It took forever. It feels like that. Felt like it took forever. But you've prayed faithfully with me and for me, and I have a praise report. See, church, we need each other. We need to be together. We need to be together because we are stronger together than we are separate. God designed you. God made you the way you are. And part of the design in your personal DNA is to be together with people of faith. Once you came to know Jesus Christ as your living Savior, He puts that in your DNA and into your spirit, that you need to be together with other believers. It's not a time to make excuses. It's not a time to say, I'm too busy. It's not a time to say, it's too difficult. It's not a time to say, it's time to say, where do I sign up? How can I be part of a small group community? How can I be part of this where I can have relationships in the community, a place where people will pray for me, a place where I can practice ministry, a place where I could be discipled to be like Jesus? Where do I find that place? On your small group sign-up card in your bulletin this morning.